Let's run quickly over to Luke chapter number 1. We're going to do the sermon a little different today as well. When you're there, go ahead and say amen. All right, one of you is there. Luke chapter number 1, I'm going to start reading verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. And I'm going to end the reading right there. Because I find those two words, highly favored, to be very interesting. Typically, when I think of someone who's highly favored, I think, Brother John, of somebody who knows somebody. Someone who's got it in. Someone who maybe they're able to buy their way in because they got the money, or they're just popular. They got the looks. I know the opposite of me. They've got the athleticism. You know, hey, if I said Michael Jordan, most people in here would instantly know who I'm talking about. Because he's the greatest basketball player there ever is. I don't care about what any of these other guys say, and I don't even follow basketball. But Michael Jordan, he's the man. Highly favored is somebody who should be highly favored. Someone who shouldn't have to worry about stepping in a mud puddle. Someone to lay down if necessary so they can be stepped on to keep that person from stepping in the mud puddle. Highly favored is somebody that everybody's lining up to see them. Shake their hand. Get their autograph. Slip them a couple of dollars because, man, it's a privilege to get to be in your presence because they are highly favored. I expect highly favored when Gabriel says this to Mary to find that she's just in Nazareth visiting. That she really belongs in a mansion somewhere. Highly favored. I expect that this is a matter of she's doing one of these Hallmark movie type things where she's in disguise pretending to be a commoner and really is loaded. She's got the prince back home waiting on her to come back home so they can get married. She's got her happily ever after ready for her because she's highly favored. By the way, Bible says here that, where was it again? To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. If Mary's highly favored, that must mean Joseph's highly favored too. He's got to have it going on like Donkey Kong, Brother Steve. He's got to be the man. He's got to be somebody important, Priscilla. If she's highly favored, surely he must be too, because she can't go below her status. She can't be going down below her class in life, because she's highly favored. And as we go through and we search the genealogies of these two, Mary's genealogy, as it's laid out for us there in Luke chapter 3, and Joseph's, as it's laid out for us there in Matthew chapter number 1, we find that these two are descended from kings. King David, very specifically. So they must be highly favored, since they are descended from King David. Yeah. King David, yes. Woo! Little wonder why in Matthew chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2, the wise men walk into Jerusalem. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he? We've come to worship the brand new baby born King of the Jews. Where is he? This is Jerusalem. This is the city of David. This is the seat of the kings of the nation of Israel. Surely the newborn king of the Jews is here, because his parents there, Miss Martha, are highly favored. This is the place to be. I expect the most from these two. How about you? It's logical. We're not talking about Gabriel showing up and says, "Mary, you scum of the earth, man, you should count yourself lucky I'm even here, girl. Let alone the news I got to tell you." That ain't what happened. Miss Martha, you were really excited this morning. Tell us about that brand new great-grandbaby getting ready to come, weren't you? Yeah. You got all excited. That means a baby's announcement. That's exciting. So you've got to have something worthwhile here. Gabriel came with that excitement to Mary. Hey, you're going to have a baby. Came to Joseph. Hey, she's going to have a baby. It's great. You're both highly favored. You should be happy. You should be up here on cloud 9. Because you're highly favored.
Well, just how highly favored were they? You ever stop to think about that? How highly favored were they? Let me read that again. And in the sixth month, by the way, that's talking about Elizabeth, her cousin, that she's 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named... I think my Bible's wrong. I got to have a typo here. My Bible says Nazareth. Does anybody else's Bible say that? Shouldn't it say Jerusalem? It says Nazareth. That's what we call nowadays a red flag. Something's wrong here. Nazareth. You know who's sitting on that throne there in Jerusalem at this time? Herod the Great. Only half Jewish, though. The other half of him is an Edomite. No business being on the throne. Of course, I guess that doesn't much matter, since back when Nebuchadnezzar came and attacked Jerusalem the first time, he took Jeconiah, the rightful heir to the throne, who was sitting on the throne, and brought him back prisoner. When Nebuchadnezzar came back the third time, the final time to Jerusalem, he destroyed the walls of Jerusalem, made the city naked by removing the walls, destroyed the temple, ripped its heart out, destroyed the royal palace, including the throne of David. Dagger right through the heart. Hit the pause button, more or less. The first time when he took Jeconiah away, the second time he made sure that pause button was hit by destroying that throne. Herod didn't sit upon the throne of David. He sat upon a throne established by Rome. He was, in essence, a governor, a president. He had no real authority. So if Rome gave it to him, fine. If Rome allowed gray area, fine. If Rome said, "No, Herod, you're not allowed to do it," Herod wasn't allowed to do it. He was not the king. But these two people here, they were descended from David, but they weren't in Jerusalem. They weren't even in that palace. You know, you trace the lineage as far as the line of David goes. You start off with David. He's a shepherd boy. Wins a battle. He gets promoted to be a general in the army of Israel. Saul's killed in battle. David is now receives the final promotion to being the new king of Israel. This is great. God promises him there in 2 Samuel that there would not fail to be one of your line to sit upon the throne.
And like I said, Jeconiah comes along and he's a sinner. And God says, that's enough. I ain't taking no more from you all. You're going to prison. So the line starts off as shepherd, moves to being king, prisoner. Until evil Merodach comes along, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Raises him up so that he can sit at the same table as King Evil Merodach. But he ain't no king no more. His grandson, Jeconiah's grandson, Zerubbabel, is given a commission by Cyrus, the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, to go back to Jerusalem, not as king, but simply as a governor. He'll do nothing that I don't allow. Shepherd, king, prisoner, governor. Might as well be a sideways move. But over 400 years later, suddenly, Joseph comes on the scene. He's highly favored. He's a carpenter. And I don't mean the ones who sang back in the 70s and early 80s either. He's a carpenter. He ain't even a famous carpenter. He ain't got no reality show. He ain't got no blog. People aren't paying him millions of dollars to come and build furniture for them, to come and build their house for them. He's just a carpenter. To the point that literally in Matthew 13:55, when they're questioning about Jesus, they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Mark 6:3, they question, is not this the carpenter? Again, talking about Jesus there. But in both instances, Joseph's name is omitted. And he's highly favored. They don't even bother to use his name. Something wrong with this now. I say Bob Vila. I bet a few of you know that name. You may not even watch this show, but you know, man, this old house. The remodeling he would do. They don't even use his name. As a matter of fact, that second time they're in Mark, they didn't even make any sort of reference that he's a carpenter's son. He said, is not this the carpenter? How's that highly favored? What's so special about this guy? He's a nobody! Actually, he was a little more than that, I suppose you could say. He was the guy, quite frankly, you hide your daughters from. Preacher, you ain't trying to say. Oh yeah, you better believe I'm trying to say it. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. In other words, they ain't married yet. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. They didn't put her away privily. That putting her away privily means that he would just kind of divorce her. Okay, the Hebrews there, they had three stages for being married. Number one, you're introduced as children to one another. You're promised to one another by your parents. Number two, when you become teenagers, then you are married, but not all the way. You become husband and wife, but not in the bedroom. The marriage hasn't been consummated yet. You get to spend the next year working together, learning each other, but not that way. And then after that year's up, then the marriage comes and you get to consummate the marriage. That's the third part, when they are actually 100% married and the marriage bed goes undefiled. But she's pregnant already. Takes two to tango, don't it? Yeah, you're married, but yet you're actually not married yet. Okay, Joseph. And you're not putting her away, huh, Joseph? Okay. Yeah, we know who dear old daddy is. You go right on ahead and you keep telling us, Steve, that this is the Holy Ghost. We know the truth. We understand biology. 1 + 1 = 3. Come on, we ain't dummies. We know about you, Joseph. Yeah, how's that highly favored again? That everybody's mind races to that? I mean, literally later on in life, when Jesus' ministry begins, they tell him, say, we're not the children of fornication. 30 plus years later, and they're still talking about him being illegitimate. Because they know his daddy and mama. Yeah, honey, we know what you're doing. You couldn't wait. Nowadays, it's no big deal. Nowadays, hey, 16 and pregnant, hey, you know, we'll get you on television and we'll get you a few million dollars for your efforts just because, you know, you had to do it. We celebrate it now. Well, back then it was still a stoning offense. Yeah, back then, fornication, guess what? You still got stoned for that. I guess we could at least say at least he was living up to his responsibilities and taking care of the wife, you know, the girl and the baby. But yeah, nah. You go ahead, Joseph. You keep claiming you've got dreams. That God told you go ahead and marry her because the Holy Spirit is responsible. We don't even know if there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit. But you keep on telling us that, Joseph. That makes you able to sleep at night. Yeah, whatever. We're not dumb. Stop making out like we're that stupid. A couple of years later, those wise men show up. And in the middle of the night, Joseph suddenly decides to pack up and leave town with the family. Did they really bring him those gifts, or did someone come and say, we know the truth? But yeah, you keep on telling us, Joseph, it's because God told you what to do. Notice how every time something tends to go wrong in our lives and we make a bad decision, well, God told me to do this. God told me to leave there. God told me to do this, to buy that. God. Yeah, Joseph, we get it. And a couple more years later, he claims to have another dream. Man, this guy's got his head in the clouds, or is it on the pillow since he's always dreaming? But now he can go ahead and he can come on back. It's safe. Well, what's wrong, Joseph? Were you worried about the marriage not being considered legal and you left for a couple years just to make it sound good? I thought you're highly favored, Joseph. You know, whatever floats your boat, Joseph. Oh, thou highly favored. You know what he kind of sounds like when you think about it? A cult leader. C-U-L-T. Those guys, that they start brainwashing people, so all of a sudden they start having multiple wives and all that. He definitely comes off as an adulterer. A fraud. Yeah, for claiming to be descended from David, for claiming to have all those dreams. He definitely is a peasant. There is absolutely nothing special about him. I find nothing highly favored about this joker. But that's me. What about Mary? How is she highly favored? Hey, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'll offend the males and females in here. That's okay. Y'all can vote me out later. That's fine. But here she is. She's supposed to be getting married to this guy. And all of a sudden, she turns up pregnant. She's supposed to be a virgin. Goes to stay with her cousin for a couple of months. Comes back, and she's obviously on the nest here. Did she give Joseph a little going-away present before she left, or did she meet herself a fellow over there? You know, come on. Let's be honest here. Well, maybe Joseph is right for wanting to put her away privily. It wasn't him. Maybe he really ain't the daddy. He just being nice to her. Ain't sounding too good about this highly favored. Amazing how rumors get started, ain't it?
One person gets an opinion, they start spouting off about everything, start looking at nothing but negativity. Maybe got some of y'all here this morning even think about, you know what, Matt Joseph really ain't that good of a dude after all. I'm starting to wonder about Mary. You know, maybe I really need to go back in there and start studying my Bible a little closer. Preacher's up there running both of them to a hole in the ground. Yeah. So highly favored. And so very pregnant. Yep, she's ready to have a kid with Joseph. Just had to come on back to town at just the right time. Oh, it got worse. She's so highly favored. Pregnant out to here. Ready to drop any time now. Here comes the mail. By decree of Caesar, you must return to your hometown with your family. Now Joseph has got to pack his sea bags, and he's got to go all the way back to Bethlehem because that's where he's registered at. And here's very pregnant Mary. She's got to also go with him because she is his wife. Maybe not 100% yet, but she's still legally his wife. I remember years ago, November of 06, I got word that my Papaw down in Tennessee had a boat, Brother John, that he was willing to give me. I just had to come down and get it. I had me at the time a Dodge 1500 Ram quad cab, but not the good quad cabs where it's a full-size door. No, that back door was about yay wide. You opened it. You open up the front door, then you open up this door, suicide doors. Then you lower the front seat down so the person can climb in, and there is me, my cousin Adam, who you all saw a couple months ago, and my very much pregnant wife climbing in the back seat, and we took a 10-hour drive down to Tennessee. Weren't very comfortable for her, I'll tell you that much. I had to take my cousin because I've never been to my papaw's place. So I needed a navigator, and this is before GPS really got going. Let me tell you something, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun laying in my papaw's bed with my wife. He slept on the couch for us because, quite frankly, she couldn't get comfortable. She's out to here. It's not an enjoyable time. Amen. Some of you women remember this. Here's Mary. She didn't have the comfort of a heated cab of a truck, air conditioning in the daytime. We're not even sure she had a donkey to ride on, a horse. Could you imagine if she had to walk that whole distance? Because the Bible does not tell us. But either way, I don't count that as highly favored. When you're ready to pop at any time now. Sorry, I'm just the way the sermon is. And you've got to travel all the way to from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We're not talking from here to Griffith now. You're going further out than that. And the baby's due any moment. How exactly is that highly favored? That's hard on anybody, let alone someone who's ready to give birth any moment now. So highly favored was she. We need a room for the night. We're full. We need a room for the night. We're full. We need to go away. We're full. Over and over and over again. I don't know if they ended up in a stable. Some people say that there were caves nearby, the caves that would be used for when the shepherds had their sheep out in the fields, or bringing them back from the fields, I should say. When they're out in the fields, they didn't need the caves. If that's the case, then it definitely points to a springtime or fall time that they arrived in Bethlehem for sure. most likely springtime, the way that it works out with the course for Zacharias. So maybe they was in the cave. Maybe they had a lean-to they were able to put together. I don't know. But she didn't have a doctor to deliver that baby. No record of a midwife. Just a man that she's never touched. They've never seen each other that way. And now all of a sudden here he is. He's got to get down there and help her deliver that baby boy. How's that highly favored? That little one was born. We went in Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. if I remember correctly. So they could start rounds of antibiotics for something, I forget what it is off the top of my head. 4:48 p.m., here she was. Called my father-in-law. Gracie's here. Within 2 hours, so were they. And here he is. He was in such a rush to get home and get cleaned up and changed that his shirt was like this. We got a picture of it. But you know what? My father-in-law was excited to see that grandbaby. So was my mother-in-law. They were excited to see that grandbaby. I was excited to see that baby. They were people we wanted there to celebrate. The next day, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong later, I wasn't there. I had to go back home. But my wife got a visitor. One of the nurses there wearing a fur coat. Name was Terry. She tried teaching me in vain. She tried teaching me how to play the piano. Saw that Helene was there. Had never met her, but had to come up there because she wanted to meet Dennis's baby. Even though it was a bit of a surprise, it was an okay surprise. Jesus' first visitors, the first visitors that Mary and Joseph, highly favored Mary and Joseph, received, was a bunch of smelly shepherds. Shepherds, their testimony wasn't even legal in court. They stink. I don't care how pretty sheep look from a distance. You get close enough, they stink. And I'm not talking PU. I'm talking like, oh, good night, this stinks. And these guys are around them 24/7. And they're bringing that filth, that stank, to see this baby boy. How highly favored are Mary and Joseph? That's the best they got. By the way, the wise men didn't show up for several months. Quite possibly, that star didn't even appear until the night Jesus was born. So you're looking at 2 years later when the wise men finally got there. That ain't highly favored in my book. I don't know about yours, but it ain't mine. The law said that if a man picked up a child, he claimed it as his own. Joseph knew he was not the daddy. And he had no other children. By picking up that baby that day, he claimed Jesus as his, not only his child, but his heir and his firstborn, which means a double portion, which also means that he has the legal claim to the throne of David. A child that's most called a bastard. Illegitimate. Suddenly found himself in line to the throne of David. Of course, you and I all know, and this is aside from the message, we know he was a legitimate heir to the throne. And he got that from both sides, both Mary and Joseph there, and we talked about that earlier. But here he is. He responded to the law by picking up Jesus. The law even said that. And that's not Roman law. That was Roman law. But this part of the law here, it was Jewish law. It required
after that baby boy was born for them to go and bring a sacrifice to the temple. First thing, she walks in, this highly favored woman with this highly favored man, with this Son of God. And this old kook comes walking up there and starts foretelling, prophesying that this boy's going to die for the nation and it's going to affect you too. Yeah.
How highly favored is that? Your firstborn's going to die. God promised mankind that a Savior would be born back there in Genesis chapter 3. Joseph couldn't do nothing to help. His line had been cut off from the throne because of Jeconiah's sin. He was of the lineage of the firstborn, but he couldn't actually give the throne today to Joseph, or to Jesus, I'm sorry. Mary came from the line of Nathan. Not Nathan the prophet, but Nathan the son of David. And those are the only two bloodlines from David that we have. So we're able to say that yes, Jesus indeed does have the right to claim the throne of David. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die upon the cross so that we could be saved. It's not about the condition of Mary and Joseph's life. It's not about the heartaches, the rumors, the accusations. It's not about the lack of money and resources that made them highly favored. It's not the innuendos. It's not anything else but this. God chose them to be the step-parents to raise Jesus from that little baby to His ministry begin. To Him to go to the cross. Not that He learned anything from them, but He had to come as a regular human being, the whole nine yards, in order to save lost mankind. They were highly favored because God understood they had the faith to do what He'd asked them to do. I want to ask you here in closing today, do you have the faith to do what God has asked you to do? I don't know what He's asked you to do. Perhaps He's laid something on your heart already and you've been wrestling with it. Perhaps there's decisions to be made. He's asking you to have the faith in Him. As if you'll put a little bit of faith in Him, greater things than these you will see. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank You, God, for all that You've done for us. And we pray, Father, if there's anyone here who needs to come and do business with You, that they'll take that opportunity now to come forward. Whatever the case would be. That they themselves say, you know what? I know I'm highly favored because I am also a child of God. And I want the full blessings. I want the full power. I want to be used completely by my Father in heaven. Help them, Lord, please, to submit. We pray, Father, for our church here that we will grow. Not worrying about what the world has to say about us. Not worrying about how things may look. But simply focusing on what You can do for us if we'll just have faith. In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen. If you please stand.